Part 15, The Chosen People. We are now at a point in the Sefer Kuzari, which is perhaps one of the most controversial things that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi will state in the entire Sefer, where he defines what it means for the Jewish people to be the chosen people. After providing the Indian parable, wherein he explains the basis for Jewish faith, it becomes clear that the Torah was given to the Jewish people alone, and it is only incumbent upon the Jewish people to abide by the Jewish faith. Yes, it's true, other nations have the option of observing the commandments, but they are not bound by these commandments, nor are they rewarded to the same degree as the Jewish people. And the rabbi concludes his statements with the words at the end of paragraph 27 on page 71. We Jews are obliged to follow the Torah because God took us out of Egypt and attached his glory to us. God did this specifically for us, as we are the choicest of all mankind. Now, certainly for a 21st century mind, this is a very jarring statement. Certainly we live in a time where equality is a very important value within modern civilization. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is sensitive to this even in the 12th century, and this may be yet one more reason why he chooses the story of a pagan Khazar king in order for this fictional protagonist to react in the shocked fashion that he does. And thus in paragraph 28, the Kuzari says, "Careful, Jew, you are regressing. Your speech has gone lean after having been so rich." To which the rabbi has to reassure him now that if he listens to what he has to say, all of his questions will be answered. And now Rabbi Yehuda Halevi presents his understanding of the nature of all that exists within this realm of physical reality. And he states that physical organisms can be classified into five different levels of creation. The first level is inorganic, non-living, inanimate entities, such as rocks and metal, which possess neither reproductive abilities nor locomotion. Now, when we get into these five levels, you'll understand if they sound somewhat foreign, it's because we're living in a 21st century scientific world. These kinds of classifications are more medieval in nature. But again, the first level is the inorganic and inanimate. The second level of organism are organic organisms, such as plants, which possess reproductive abilities, but possess no mobility. They cannot move. So a plant, for example, would fall into this category. It reproduces, but it has no locomotion. The third level is that of animals. Animals possess both reproductive abilities and locomotion, but the one thing that they do not possess is intelligence. The fourth level is that of the human being, who possesses all of the above plus intelligence. And at this point, the king agrees to this very rough classification of all earthly organisms, and so the rabbi then asks him, "So what is the level after level four? What is higher than the human being?" The king says, "I can't think of anything higher. It would seem that the human being is the highest organism, the highest order of creation in this world." But then the rabbi says, and really I'm going to quote for you from paragraph 41 on page 74. He says, "Let us say we could find a Superman who could walk through fire unscathed, who could go without food and not starve, who could radiate from his face such a bright aura that no eye could look directly at it, and who would never become ill or weak. And when this Superman would have accomplished his purpose in life, he would die of his own accord at a set time, like someone who lies down on his bed and goes to sleep. And right before his death, this person would know everything that happened in the past and all that will transpire in the future. Would you not agree that this person occupies a separate level from the rest of humankind?" So when the Kuzari hears this depiction, he has no choice but to acknowledge, of course, that is a separate kind of creation, but it sounds like it's an angelic kind of being. It doesn't sound like a real human being. And to this the rabbi says, "What I've just described for you is Moshe Rabbeinu." Moshe Rabbeinu for Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is an exemplar for what it means to be a perfected human being. And Moshe is a prophet. And a prophet is someone who is a special class of people, a subset of the chosen nation, the Jewish people. Now, before we go any further, we need to clarify what Rebbe Yehuda Halevi is not saying. And this is very important. He is not saying that all Jews are inherently greater than all non-Jews. What Rebbe Yehuda Halevi is saying is that because there is some inherent quality that was imbued within the Jewish people, you can even call it a genetic quality, if you will, and later on he's going to explain how this genetic quality came to exist within the Jewish people. As a result of that, Jews possess the potential to achieve this fifth level of greatness of existence, whereby they can achieve something called prophecy. It is nevertheless very rare for any Jew to be able to reach that level. And as I mentioned, this level that we're referring to, this idea of a superman, of a superhuman being, is the level simply of prophecy. It's just that Moshe was the greatest of all prophets, but any prophet has this very great capability to either perform superhuman feats or to be able to commune with God and to communicate with God on a level that is unprecedented for the rest of mankind. The individual has some kind of conjunction with the divine. And according to Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, no non-Jew is capable of achieving prophecy. Now, in our next talk, we will discuss how the Jewish people acquired this special gene that imbues them with this ability for prophecy. And of course, we also have to discuss how it can be that Rebbe Yehuda Halevi can even posit such a thing that non-Jews are not capable of prophecy, especially in light of the fact that there seem to be some very famous examples of non-Jews, even in our own tradition, that were capable of achieving prophecy. That's a question that we're going to have to put on the side for just a moment. But first, we need to point out one very important thing, and that is that for Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, the entire superiority of the Jewish people, this chosen people, is prophecy. And if that's the case, then please consider that the last prophets to walk this earth, according to our own sages, lived approximately 2,300 years ago. Our sages tell us that the last of the prophets were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who lived just a few decades into the Second Temple era, which we're going now a few hundred years before the Common Era. And so the idea of the Jewish people having chosen this for Rebbe Yehuda Halevi is largely a non sequitur, because if prophecy no longer abounds within the Jewish people, then there really is no difference for all intensive purposes, as far as an ontological difference between Jews and non-Jews, after the cessation of prophecy over 2,000 years ago. Now, Rebbe Yehuda Halevi also does point out that we as the Jewish nation have a collective specialness because of the heritage of prophecy within us, but that's not an inherent special quality within every Jew, but rather it is a cultural specialness that exists because we have a heritage of prophecy and the teachings of our prophets that were passed down to us throughout the generations. Therefore, all Rebbe Yehuda Halevi is saying is that if we take the lessons of our historical prophets to heart, we follow the lessons and lifestyles of our Nevi'im, then even though we may not be able to achieve this fifth level of organism, we can do our best to emulate the lives of such individuals, and in this way, both as individuals and as a community, we can in some smaller way achieve a chosen people status, not an ontological difference or differentiation between ourselves and the rest of the world, but at least behaviorally, we can show that we are different from the rest of the world because we are emulating the lives of our prophets. I want to make two final points before we move on to the next idea. One is that although for Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, our chosenness today is largely a non sequitur because we no longer have prophecy, the elite nature of the Jewish people is even more emphasized in later mystical writings, meaning writings that would appear after the publication of the Kuzari, such as the Zohar and commentaries to the Zohar. According to these writings, which appear in the Jewish world after the 12th century, after Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, there are even more controversial claims about the unique chosen status of the Jewish people. And therefore, there are many within modern Jewish thought who still subscribe to the idea of an essential difference between Jews and non-Jews even today. Even if were you to ask Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, he would say, well, if you're not a prophet, then there's no difference between you and a non-Jew. That's point number one. Secondly, I ask you to recall that earlier in our talks, we pointed out that according to Maimonides, the Rambam, this ontological specialness of the Jewish people is not a reality. For the Rambam, even a non-Jew can accomplish prophecy. The Rambam writes this quite explicitly in his Igeret Teiman, in his epistle to Yemen, where he talks about the reason why Jews do not follow the teachings of Muhammad, the first Muslim. It's not because Muhammad was not capable of prophecy, but rather because his teachings were not simply not prophecies. They were incorrect teachings. It would seem from a number of writings of the Rambam that there is a stark point of difference between his philosophies and ideologies about what it means to be the chosen people and Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi's. For Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, there is an essential difference that exists between Jews and non-Jews. For the Rambam, however, our differences are purely based on our covenantal responsibilities to observe the Torah, which does not exist for non-Jews. We will, as we had mentioned in our previous talks, be returning to this dichotomy in Jewish thought from time to time throughout our discussion of the Kuzari, because it really is quite important in helping to shape all future Jewish ideological concepts that revolve around the chosen people concept.